very enlightening series of studies dealing with the prophetic parables of Christ. Throughout the study, there's been much consideration that has been given to the parables of Christ, and I believe that as a result, we've all gained a greater insight into the mind of Christ and into the wisdom of his teaching. I'd like to direct your attention tonight to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. In this particular chapter of Matthew, there are, as I count, seven different parables. In verse number 19, we find the parable of the sower. In verse number 24, we find the parable of the wheat and the tares. Verse number 31, we find the parable of the mustard seed. Verse number 33, we find the parable of the leaven. Verse number 44, we find the parable of the buried treasure. Then we find in verse number 45, the parable of the pearl of great price. And then in verse number 47, we find the parable of the net or the large net. In each one of these particular parables, Jesus makes reference to the kingdom of heaven as a precursor to his teaching. And tonight I'd like to use that thought as a basis for our lesson tonight. Considerations of the kingdom. Considerations of the kingdom. When we think in terms of a kingdom, quite simply, a kingdom is a king's domain. The kingdom that Jesus speaks of is his domain. A kingdom is that in which a king has dominion. Additionally, the word kingdom means sovereignty, royal power, and dominion over a territory or over a people over which the king rules. Jesus, as he invokes the term kingdom of heaven in connection with the parables, is pointing to a kingdom in which he will have ultimate rule. Paul speaks to this in talking about the kingdom. As we look in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17. And Paul makes a statement. He said, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God," he said, "be honor and glory forever." Wherever you talk about a king, it suggests that there is a kingdom. And here, as Paul speaks about the King of Kings, he mentions him as being eternal and immortal and invincible and the only wise God. And to him be honor and glory forever. When it speaks of him as eternal, that means that his kingdom is eternal. When it speaks of him as immortal, it's emphasizing the fact that this king has power over death. When it speaks to him as invincible, it's saying that no man can defeat this king. or his kingdom. When it says the only wise God, I would suggest that the true interpretation of that text of the scripture should be the only God. But he just happens to be wise as well. And in so much as he is king, I need to make him king of my life. I need to make sure that he is on the throne of my life. I am a part of his kingdom. And his kingdom, not only that, is one that is a kingdom or a domain over certain people, but his kingdom was conceived in eternity. When I think about Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before God created the world, there were thoughts and plans put in place for his kingdom and for us to be a part of that kingdom. And as we are here today, we are individuals who have been translated into his kingdom. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, he talks about this idea of the kingdom. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That word translated is a very powerful word. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. When we look back at that word translated, as I studied it, it means, it actually talks about a group, and more specifically, a race that has been moved from one position to another position. Josephus used the word translate to describe how the Israelites were moved by the king of Assyria. Maybe a more applicable example of translation would be over many years ago, there were millions or hundreds of thousands of people that were translated from the coast of Africa and brought to the United States. But here, when he uses a word who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, we have been moved from the power of being under the power of darkness and have been brought under and brought into the kingdom of his dear son. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I've been translated. I'm thankful that I've been bought from under the regime of darkness and bought into the kingdom of his dear son. What a beautiful thing to think about the kingdom. And you know, there's another consideration of the kingdom. The kingdom, I believe that Jesus spoke of as a precursor to all of the parables that he shared. The kingdom, I believe, is the church. The kingdom is the church, and the church is the kingdom. Notice, if you will, these parallels on comparing the church and the kingdom and see how they parallel one another. Christ is the head of the church. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22, and it put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Well, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13 says Christ is the king of his kingdom. Look what it says, and we just read it from Colossians chapter 1. It said, who hath delivered us again from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. When you think about coming into the body of Christ and coming into the kingdom of Christ, we see very similar commands that are there. One is baptized into the church. Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, for by one spirit are we baptized into one body. Then John came along in John chapter 3 and verse number 5 and said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water to get into the church, water to get into the kingdom. When I think about the church is an everlasting institution. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21, the Bible said, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. It's an everlasting kingdom. Brother Gibbs preached this morning, talked about from Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The church is everlasting. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. When I think about the church and the kingdom going forward, the gospel of Christ and the church are looked upon or were looked upon as the mystery. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25, the Bible says, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and preaching according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. But then we look and find the teachings of Christ are called the mysteries of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 11, it said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I just believe as we look at these scriptures, it proves that the church is the kingdom, and the kingdom is the church. And I'm not going to be long. I just got two more points. It is a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's a kingdom that cannot be moved. In the end, as God looks at this world, and God looks at all the things that are going on in this world, God, in the end, is going to do some shaking up. God is going to take out some things. He's going to take care of some things in order that he can allow those things that he has established to remain. The Hebrew writer, and I know we've looked at this before, but I just believe it's such a beautiful text. In Hebrews chapter 12, look at what it says in verse number 25. He says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only. He said, but also heaven. And look at what he says. Look down to verse number 27. He said, in this word, yet once more signified the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. What are you talking about, writer of Hebrews? He said, I'm going to shake up everything that was made. What do you mean that was made? I'm talking about things that were made with the hand of man, things that were made in the concept and the mind of man. I'm going to shake it up. Kingdoms are going to be shaken up. There are lots of kingdoms that once existed, once very powerful kingdoms, but they exist no more. Governments are going to be shaken up. Countries are going to be shaken up. Administrations are going to be shaken up. Economies are going to be shaken up. Powers shaken up. principalities, shaken up, thoughts and convictions and lusts that go against the word of God are going to be shaken up. Anything that doesn't coincide or conform to what the will and the desire of God is going to be shaken up. Now, why are you going to shake up these things, God? I'm going to shake them up because I want to make a way for those things that cannot be shaken. Look what he says in verse number 28. He said, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. A kingdom. What is a kingdom? I think we proved that the kingdom is a church, and the church is the kingdom. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. I used to love the song we used to sing, glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. When I think about being in the church, I shall not be moved. It's an unmovable kingdom. It's an unshakable kingdom. It's a kingdom that offers protection. I'm not going to be moved by the powers that are out there because God has already dealt with the powers. I'm not going to be moved by any threats of condemnation to my soul because God has already moved them. I'm not going to be worried about all the things that occur in my life. We as Christians, we have to convince ourselves, don't let life shake you up. Don't let it shake you up. I know there's troubles. I know there are trials. I know there are difficulties. I know that there's pain. I know there's setbacks. I know there's death. I know there are other things that we have to deal with. But in the midst of everything that we have to go through in life, don't let it shake you up. Because you are a part of an unshakable kingdom. Bible said, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That lets me know there's protection in the kingdom. That lets me know there's hope in the kingdom. That lets me know there's always something that I have to look forward to in the kingdom. It lets me know there's forgiveness in the kingdom. There's grace in the kingdom. There's mercy in the kingdom. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Don't let this world shake you up, but just continue to be faithful. Continue to be what God would have you to be. And you see, being a part of this unshakable kingdom, it prepares us for the end of this world. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and looking down to verse number 24, the Bible said, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom, delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. I can't deliver myself up. I got to stay in the kingdom. He's going to deliver the kingdom back up to God. And that's why I want to continue to live a transformed life. In so much as I have been translated into the kingdom, I want to continue to live a transformed life so that when Jesus decides to deliver the kingdom back to God, I want to be in that number. I want to be in that number, that unshakable kingdom. Sin has no dominion in this kingdom. Because the blood of Jesus Christ continually washes us and cleanses us from all sin. Guilt should have no dominion in this kingdom because we serve a God who is just, willing, and able to forgive us of all sin. Why would I want to get outside of a place of protection? You know, when I think about God's going to shake things up, imagine yourself in an earthquake and you in a building that was built to withstand the quake. Why would you step outside of that building? Why would you step outside that building and take a chance on your safety when it already been determined that this is a place of safety? We're in an unshakable building. It's a spiritual house that God has designed to protect us from all the things that he's going to shake up in this world, and protect us from all the calamities of this world, protect us from all the disasters of life. I'm going to stay in the kingdom. You know, I guess at the end of the year, I find myself thinking so much, seems like so much about the end. I guess the end of the year makes me think about the end. You know, we need to think more about the end. We need to think about the end, and I need to think about my end. If I've already considered my end, I don't have to worry about the end. I need to remember that I'm a part of a kingdom that's going to be delivered back to God. I'm here. I'm in that kingdom. Praise God.
Amen.
That through the natural flow of things in each and every one of our lives, God has somehow intervened, and we now have the benefit of being a part of his kingdom. And in so much as we're part of the kingdom, we ought to live like royalty. We're a royal priesthood. You know, I've never been around royalty, but I understand there are certain things that people that are royals just won't do. There are certain protocols that they won't break because they are royalty. And it ought to be the same for us. I ought to consider myself royalty. When sin comes knocking on my door, just like that snooty royal might say or do, that's beneath me.
Amen.
When sin comes and it tries to attack my life, I ought to say to myself, that's beneath me. When any temptation comes my way that is not in congruency with what the word of God would have me to do or be, I ought to say to myself, that's beneath me. That's beneath my privilege as a Christian. I know the flesh is in, but it's something I want to do. It's something I feel like I just really would benefit from. But I need to tell myself, that's beneath my privilege as a Christian. I am royalty in Christ. One of these days, he's going to come and take me back. And I want to be found in his kingdom, in his body, in the church. Jesus Christ died for the church, died for the body. He is a king over an everlasting kingdom. This is a kingdom without end. It's going to go on and on into eternity. There are many things that we commit ourselves to in this life, and those things have a finite ending. But if I commit myself to Christ, his commitment to me goes all throughout the rest of this life on into eternity. Amen. And we have to become eternal in our thinking. I can't just be temporal in the way that I look at life. I can't just be temporal in the way that I consider life. I've got to recognize that I'm an eternal being and conduct myself as I should. I hope all of us are confident of the fact that we are truly a part of an eternal kingdom. And we can live our lives with joyful expectation each day, knowing that if Jesus Christ came tomorrow or the next moment, or if I suddenly stop breathing tomorrow or the next moment, that I'm fine. I'm a member of an unshakable kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
May God help all of us to that end. I hope you've gotten something from the lesson. See, I tried to end early, didn't I? If there's anyone here tonight that is not a member of the Lord's body, you need to become a member of the kingdom to be one day delivered to that everlasting kingdom. You do that by hearing the word of God, believing the same, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be buried in the watery grave of baptism, and as you come up from that watery grave, you'll be translated. You'll be added to that kingdom, that unshakable kingdom, that the devil and all the powers of sin, all the powers of this world cannot penetrate. And you'll be ready and prepared to be translated into eternity. If there's someone here that is a member of the Lord's body, and maybe you've not been living your life in a way that is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight, maybe you've not conducted yourself in a way that is befitting of a Christian, don't allow yourself to get out of the kingdom. We have been translated from darkness. Why would I walk away from where I can see and walk into a world of darkness that provides no benefit,
amen,
that provides no security, and provides certain damnation in hell? Let's all stay in the kingdom. And if you're here and you've not been living your life in accordance to the will of God, make a change in your life. If you have a need tonight, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
925. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Oh, you know that I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.